it's really affected an awful lot of folks. People going out of the business and without going out, they're cutting way, way back in the number of horses they have. Maybe after Tuesday, things will change. I don't know. It's scary.
Fell there too.
I hope so. Okay, Mel, I'll ask you. You know, I told you in the letter, I'd probably take 20 minutes. This is been very variable. The time taken mostly depends upon the length of your answers, I guess. But, you know, if you're quick, it won't take long. And if you get to the point where you don't want to talk anymore, just say goodbye.
I'm not sure I can remember as far back as bonus baby days.
I know the feeling. Things that happened more than a week ago are fuzzy. Well, the amount of your bonus, how much was it?
Pardon?
How much was your bonus?
I'm not sure it was ever publicized. It seems to me, and let's see, I got 4 years of, two years of college where it's put in. I think it's like $45,000 total.
The whole package that included,
yeah.
Okay. What I've found in talking with, I guess I've probably spoken with 25 or 30 of the fellows at this point, what was announced, sometimes they weren't announced, but what was announced and what the actual real amount was were vastly different, as much as maybe $40,000 difference, which today may not be much, but it sure was then.
Yeah. Have you talked to Joey J by chance?
Joey J, no. Nobody seems to know where he is.
I've lost track of him. He and I signed by the same time, and I have no idea where he's located now.
I have contacted the fellow in charge of research at the Hall of Fame of the National Baseball Library, see if he has the address. Joey J and I don't remember Red. What was his name? Where's my list? The pitcher with the Pirates, just maybe a couple years out. Red Swanson. They seem to have dropped off the face of the earth. I'd like to speak to Jay. I understand that I might as well like to flap my ears and fly too for what it's going to accomplish.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. Who was the scout who scouted you and signed you?
Oh, my God. He was a very dear friend and I used the head Brave Scout in the eastern part of the country. And, boy, oh, boy. Do you have any names?
Not without digging them out. This has been the hardest question I think I've asked people.
He really was a great friend, and I was playing football at the University of Virginia at the time. I was playing three sports up there, and he was badgering me from my high school days, and I separated a shoulder playing football my second year at Virginia, and he finally convinced me that, you know, injury problems can occur and I'd be throwing away this money, so he finally convinced me to sign. I really cannot remember his name. It'll come to me, though.
Okay. Well, think hard on it. Now, you said that part of your package was this in the $45,000? Was this the school included in there? Or was that an addition?
$45,000 the education.
Okay. Okay. So you obviously lost your athletic scholarship on signing.
Correct.
Okay.
They allowed me to report late to Milwaukee and to I stayed through the year and then reported to school late, so they gave me a good deal as far as completing my education.
That's good. You know, this may not come as a surprise to you, but it does to several people. The percentage of college, completed college educations among the bonus babies is so much drastically higher than that of the non-bonus babies. It in that effect, was an excellent deal for the young men. Were other teams after you?
Yeah.
How many and who?
Golly, I guess there were probably 10 teams that I had talked to or visited. Pittsburgh was probably the strongest one, and I remember his name, the Bowen, Rex Bowen, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the White Sox was a guy named, I saw him not too long ago, Harry Pasto. Another amazing, I can't get the guy who signed me, but I remember these guys. And the Yankees were after me. They had, I forget what his name was, but he was around all the time. But it was about 10 teams. Cleveland, I went to Cleveland and visited there. But I would say in the neighborhood of 10 teams.
Were there other bonus offers?
Yeah, they were basically all of them.
Okay.
On that date.
were the Red Sox after you, by any chance?
I don't remember talking to anybody with the Red Sox.
Okay, they had a very strange outlook. They seemed to have pursued at least 80% of the young men I've spoken with, but they never seemed to sign a couple, but they always just seemed to back out when it came time to put money on the table.
I may have talked to them, as I say, it was so long ago, and I played on an American Legion team that went to the national finals, and I think I led the American Legion in hitting that year nationwide or close to it, so that created a lot of interest, I think, at that time.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
A lot of folks all the way up to Omaha, Nebraska, and I just can't make it forward.
Well, you signed in the first year of this arrangement where they had to spend 2 years with the...
1953.
Okay. Before that, they were talking to you then about the deal. What was it? The immediate preceding bonus rule was that you could sign at a certain level, but you couldn't be sent below that level.
Yeah.
That seemed like the... About every half hour, they were changing the rule there for 5 or 6 years.
And early on, I was determined to go on and finish my college education and then look around to sign. But when I got hurt a couple times playing football, it sort of changed my thinking at that time. So before, I really wasn't giving it much thought.
How long did it take you to finish college once you signed?
In regulation, 2 years.
Oh, well, that's very good.
I signed at the end of my second year and then finished in the next 2 years.
What's your degree?
Economics.
Okay, you were a banker, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is your college record available by any chance for your first 2 years? Do you know?
You mean as far as the grades are concerned?
No, your baseball record.
Oh, it's available, kind of, yeah. I see the first year... I think I made All-State and led the state in hitting. Second year, same thing.
Okay. I'll contact the school athletic department. There's a lot of schools back then, even the colleges, they seem to have kept a scorebook, but as soon as the game was over, they pitched it and nobody ever saw it again.
You better bet maybe to call the newspaper here in town. They followed me pretty close.
Okay, well, that's a good thought.
Newspaper, yeah.
All right, I'll do that. Thank you. You played... Now, you went to Milwaukee, played, I guess, sparingly is a word that comes to mind, for 2 years. Then you went in the military service. Whose suggestion was this?
No suggestion, as you might remember, to avoid the draft in those days. You either took your chances or you went in the ROTC.
Uh-huh.
I was a naval ROTC, came out as an ensign, and spent one summer, in fact, Milwaukee, although they didn't allow me, they had to let me go on a two-week Navy cruise. The kids me a lot about that. Called me Admiral Roach. And then at the end of school, I had to spend 2 years in the Navy. As a result of the ROTC requirement.
A lot of the teams were encouraging their bonus babies to enlist for the simple fact that the time spent in the service counted against the time they had to spend as a bonus baby, and they didn't have to carry an 18-year-old kid or 19-year-old kid. You were older, more mature, though, which is a little bit different story. Which brings up a question. The person who suggested this was Jim Small, and he said, now he was younger, but he said at home he had to be in at 9 o'clock every evening, and then all of a sudden he signed, met the Tigers, I think he said, in New York, and there were people holding their hands out and holding doors for him and trying to take his suitcases out of his hand. And he said the adjustment was just absolutely tremendous. You were a little older. Was this a problem for you?
No problem. I could see the problem with Joey J, though. Joey had that problem.
Yeah, he was 18, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was really had a difficult time coping with all of it. And we had a couple of old timers on the team who went back to the days of hazing and, you know, nailing your shoes to the floor. Lighting your shoestrings. I mean, it went on and on. Walker Cooper, I mean, these guys, Sibby Sisti, they were the old liners, and boy, they made it tough, I tell you.
I can imagine.
Joey really had a tough time adjusting to that, and I was somewhat older. You know, in fact, I think I was the only college graduate on the team. And in fact, my interest at that time was the stock market, and I used to sort of help the guys in doing some of their investing.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's a different situation than Joey was.
Yeah. That 2 or 3 years, well, the fact that traveling with a college team, of course, had to help, but the 2 or 3 years living away from home, things like that, seems to make a tremendous difference.
Yeah.
I have a son right now, as an aside, he's a junior in college. He wanted to be drafted out of high school, was not, and was heartbroken, but I stopped him from slitting his wrists and let him go on to college. And I could not possibly imagine him at just turned 18 years old going out on his own like that.
Very difficult.
And I'm still not sure at age 20 if I can imagine it, but maybe.
At age 20, I think they adapt a lot quicker than you think.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Okay, what kind of reception, you talked about the hazing of Jay, but what kind of reception did you receive from your teammates? A lot of the boys said they came in there and it was more money in their pocket than some of the 10-year veterans were making. Was this a problem?
Somewhat. I guess I've handled it better than most, but we had a group that really were great. Sibby Sifty sort of took me under his wing, and he was my coach of record, I think, on the team. You know, we knew we weren't going to play much, so we'd go to the park early and take extra batting practice and a lot of fielding practice, and I guess I spent more time on the field before the games than anybody, and I think Sibby and those guys respected that. They liked the idea that I was, you know, working pretty hard at it. But there were some that were pretty envious, I guess, and made a lot of cutting remarks and sort of ignored you.
Were there any actually overt actions towards you?
No.
Okay.
Other than the, you know, what I thought at the time was pretty tough, like, you know, lighting a few strings, and I came from a fairly poor background, and to have a brand new glove filled with tobacco juice. Difficult. Brand new spikes nailed to the floor, kind of thing.
Yeah. It's funny now. I'm sure it wasn't then.
Well, you know, it got to be pretty funny because, in fact, they would really do it to each other. Spahn and Burdett were the two biggest cut-ups in the world. And I mean, you'd be sitting on the bus going to the ball game, reading a newspaper, and they'd come up behind you and light the newspaper with a match, and the thing would blow them up. Putting lighted cigarettes in your belt loops. You know, we wore the old flannel trousers then, and boy, you'd put a cigarette in your belt loop, and the next thing you know, you smell the burning. And
yeah.
But that happened to everybody, so really, when they did it to you, you sort of felt like, well, I'm part of the team now, so not bad.
It, yeah, also, it wasn't singling you out,
right,
per se, yeah. Do you know whose roster spot you took when you joined the Braves?
I really don't. I didn't even think about it at the time, but I'm sure that, you know, somebody had to go down, and it was tough to some degree. I remember when I was on the team, and John DeMarit, I think, signed and came on, and
mm-hmm.
Mark Taylor came on as bonus players, and, you know, he knew that, you know, somebody had to go.
I spoke with DeMarit a while back. He's an extremely pleasant individual.
Oh, he's right there.
Yeah, I like him very much.
What's he doing now?
He's, I can't think of the city, he's the recreation director for whatever town in Wisconsin he came from, and is very near retiring. He's so far said pretty much. Some of the teams seem to accept you fellas better than other teams.
I think Milwaukee probably was as good as any, as good as we could expect.
Yeah. Well, your manager, Charlie Grimm, how was he towards you?
Charlie was fine, you know, old Jolly Charlie. I mean, nothing bothered him. He was always in a good mood and clapping his hands, and we had no problems at all.
Good. This was also, some of the managers were not too keen on the idea of having to lose a potential player for someone who might not contribute.
That would be, you know, I think I would be if I were a manager, but at the time we were not contenders, and I think maybe, you know, if you were in contention and had to lose a couple of, you know, pretty good ball players, it probably would be upsetting, but in 53 and 54,
imagine it would be. You mentioned Sibby Sisti helped you coaching you. This has been depends on whether it was a position player or a pitcher. The young pitchers, almost to a man, say that the coaching was lacking. The position players, almost to a man, say that they received helpful coaching, not only from the coaches, but from other players, veteran players. Was this a situation?
Yeah, I think Sibby was actually assigned by management, you know, to work with me, and I noticed that later on when I became a member of the team on my own that very little coaching was done. I mean, it was assumed that when you got to the major league, you knew what you were doing, and that was it.
Yeah.
But I think because of my situation, you know, they assigned Sibby to help me, so a little bit different, I think.
He's an awfully nice fellow.
Pardon?
Sisti's an awfully nice fellow.
In fact, I hadn't seen him in, I guess, since about 1960 until last year. I went and played in one of the Major League Ball Players' alumni golf outings, and Sibby came down for the first time, and we had a grand reunion. Probably was fun to see.
I bet it was. Okay, you came back from the service. 1957, you got your first hit.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
What was it?
A base hit to right field against Pittsburgh, I think.
Remember the pitcher?
No, I remember my first home run was hit off of the left-hander with the Phillies.
Simmons?
Kurt Simmons.
Yeah, good pitcher.
My first at bat was against Robin Roberts and struck out. I remember that.
Well, that's a good one to get you if you're going to get be gotten.
That's the first hit. I can't remember. I think it was the left-hand pitcher with Pittsburgh. But I think I got that hit, didn't I, the second year of my bonus arrangement?
Well, what I've got here in the book, in 53 you were 0-2, 54 you were 0-4. In the military for 2 years, came back and played Jacksonville, Atlanta, and Milwaukee in 57. And
that's it, yeah. They called me up because I think in 57 they called me up because I wouldn't count against the roster because I was out of the military service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the small rule they had. So they called me up for the pennant drive just in case the pinch hit or whatever, a pinch run, I guess.
And you got the one hit that year. Well, the next year, you played an awful lot of second base. Shane Deans was hurt?
Yeah, I had made the team as a utility player, and then Red broke his finger running one day, and I filled in for him, and that was obviously the best year I had until I tore up a knee at second base. Darryl Spencer slid into me and tore my knee up, and I guess I missed the entire, but that was 58, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I missed, I was told by the doctor that I'd never play again, that the knee was in bad shape. So I really had resigned myself. It was over. Came back home and worked on it and played a lot of handball, and before I knew it, it came back pretty well. So I missed almost the entire 59 season, as I remember.
Yeah, you did. You played 19 games.
It came back in 60 and played a utility role. I remember Felix Mantilla and I think were mentioned as the outstanding utility players in the league that year.
Yeah, you had probably a more productive year than you'd had in 58 as far as producing runs. And you played roughly the same amount of time, 136,
140 minutes. I've never played like I did before.
Well, you were essentially an outfielder that year. I mean, you played more games, I guess, in the outfield than you did anywhere else.
Yeah, Felix, I guess, played everything. I think every position except maybe shortstop and center field and catcher.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. It was apparent at that point that you were not the infielder you had been. The knee, the knee came back around obviously enough to play was not what it could have been. But you went to the Cubs and then went to the Phillies and they moved you over to third base.
Well, the Cubs was a disaster. they traded me for Frank Thomas, and that's been known as one of the worst trades in baseball, probably. But for some reason, once I got to the Cubs, you know, they had that year the board of directors, they didn't have a manager.
That's right.
And every 2 weeks or whatever it was, they would have a different manager on the field. And I remember I roomed with Don Zimmer and Richie Ashburn, and the three of us would take turns trying to buy beer for whoever we thought was going to be the next manager. I mean, it really was a joke. For some reason, they had Ed Boucher playing first, and I think they really wanted me to alternate with him. But I got over there and, you know, just never got to play.
Also, it was far and away the worst performance you put forth, which not playing does not help you.
Right.
That was unfortunate.
That was the beginning of saying, you know, my peer group from my graduating class from college were all getting ahead of me in business, and I started thinking in terms of, you know, well, I think I'll get a real job. And then the following year, spring, I went to spring training, as I remember, with Cleveland, and trained in Arizona for the first time. I think I hit about 10 home runs in spring training, and one was a grand slam, and all of a sudden everyone rediscovered the ability I had hitting, and then they traded me to the Phillies because I think the general manager from Milwaukee had gone to Philadelphia. What was his name?
The general manager from Milwaukee, I don't know. I'd have
Quinn.
To look at it.
John Quinn.
John Quinn, right. Bob Quinn's father, right.
And he had always liked the way I played, and I think he traded for me, so I went to Philadelphia. And again, played just in and out, and we had a pretty bad team, really. It was a very poor team. And nothing happened there, so I just said, heck,
that was the... That was the end of it.
62, I guess it was.
The you know, the Phillies evidently liked you. They gave two players to get you. Ken Lehman, the pitcher, and a fellow named Tony Curry, who I'm not familiar with at all. But anyhow, they gave two for one, so they must have.
Yeah, well, John liked the way I played. But again, we got over there, and we had Dean Mark managing, and Dean was more interested in playing golf than managing, in my own opinion. So.
There seems to be no middle ground on Gene Mock. He was either the greatest manager in the world or a bum.
Well,
I'm not going to ask you to comment on that, but that just seemed to be the... Tony Curry was an outfielder. I'm still not familiar with him at all. Played 3 years. But that's neither here nor there. But a lot of guys swear by Mock.
Yeah.
And I guess the others swear at him. So you hung it up. You went into business.
Yep.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you the hardest question of the bunch. Did the bonus rule hurt you as far as your advancement and ability to play Major League Ball, length of career?
Yeah, 2 years wasted.
Yeah. That's you know, guys like Kaline who happened to be in the right place at the right time, it's different. I talked to Billy Hitchcock, I don't remember him.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice man. He was a coach at that time, saw a lot of the bonus babies around the American League. Said that probably most of you guys, there was probably an exception to, but most of you guys were extremely capable and had been, if they'd been given the opportunity that Kaline was given, could very well have played respectable baseball at that age. You know, with guys like Shandings ahead of you, you're not going to be given a second base job. Your opinion of the bonus rule?
Well, I guess it's like a lot of, you know, I see it happening in baseball now, even the free agency and all the salaries that are being paid. And I guess they have to put in rules, you know, to protect certain activities. And I myself would say the bonus rule was a disaster as far as trying to, I guess, keep teams from putting out a lot of money.
Yeah. Yet the teams like the Tigers and the Pirates and the Orioles, yeah, they were carrying 5 and 6 bonus boys at a time, so they were putting out a lot of money and getting nowhere because they were also on the bench. Would you, in this course, you have 40 years to look back on, but if faced with the option of a bonus again, would you do it?
Well, given the same circumstances I was in at the time, yes, I would have taken the money.
Okay.
That was a lot of money back in those days, and I remember going to my football coach and the athletic director at UVA, and they both said, you know, how can we sit here and tell you not to take that kind of money, you know, in spite of the fact that it'll hurt our program here. So I talked to a lot of good, trusted advisors, and they all said, you know, take it and enjoy it.
Wayne Causey said that somebody told him when he signed, said that, and he ended up going on to college, but he signed out of high school. They told him that, or, and it was one of his coaches, I believe, that if you don't take this, you'll go to the major leagues. If you don't take this, there's no telling what will happen. You might get hurt in college. You might not mature. There's a lot of things, and you never get to play baseball.
And I was going to college on a football scholarship. That's the only way I could afford to go. So I would have had to play two more years of football, and it could have been the end right there.
That's right, yeah. Especially with the football injury already present. Any regrets over all this?
No. The only regret I have is, unfortunately, having the knee injury. I was having a pretty good year that year, and I remember the series against the Giants. They came in pretty close to us, maybe a game or two behind, and we beat them four in a row, and I had a great series. I think I had two home runs and about 8 for 10, and there was no question that Darrell Spencer wanted me out of the lineup, so he was a pretty hard-nosed player anyway.
That was his style. He introduced that to Japan when he went over there. In double plays, previously, the man knew he was out, so he'd just run out of the baseline and go back to the dugout, and Spencer said that on close plays, he couldn't see doing that, and he creamed a couple of Japanese second basemen and brought about riots until they...
He prided himself on doing it, and you know, I saw him many times after that. He never apologized, never said a word about, you know, had the knee or whatever. So he was a pretty hard-nosed guy.
Yes, he was. And yeah, probably just assumes it's part of the game. It is part of the game. It's still a shame. It hurts. Okay, Mel, I don't think I took much more than 20 minutes,
no,
did I?
That's fine.
I appreciate your time very much. I'll tell you what, I don't know, I've still got to go to the National Baseball Library and get a lot of background information over the times of the bonus rules and all this sort of stuff, but I hope to have this ready to present to a publisher by, middle of next summer. Before anything is submitted, do you want to see the part pertaining to you?
Yes, I really would.
Okay. I always like to do that anytime I interview a ball player. I don't want to be accused of misquoting or anything like that.
We have enough of that in our lifetime.
Amen to that. And it's and even I don't misquote, one fella told me, I'll tell you, Bill Worrell, the Pirates pitcher, said he hated to have a ball hit the left field because Ralph Kiner was out there.
Yeah.
And then when he saw it, he said, my goodness, don't say that. The man's a friend of mine.
Yeah, okay.
So I will, before anything goes to get sent off to the publisher, I will send the part that pertains to you.
Okay.
Before it's sent off, I'll wait for your reply. I really appreciate your time.
Very good, and good luck to you on the book.
Thank you very much, Mel.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Thursday, 9:31 a.m.